In almost 2 years now, with the continued bombing of Gaza in Palestine by Israel, 58,000 have died, tens of thousands more wounded and missing under rubbles. As a result, at least seven not-for-profit bodies in Australia have hosted an all-night vigil in the grounds of Parliament House in Canberra between Tuesday to Wednesday this week. Over 24 hours in the vigil, names of 17,000 Palestinian children killed were honored by reading their names. Prominent doctors, politicians, actors, academics, and community leaders attended the vigil. I managed to catch up with Executive Director Michelle from ActionAid Australia, who was on the line as the vigil drew to a close yesterday.
A very moving moment for all of the organisations involved, all of the individuals who've been reading the names of the 17,000 children who've been killed. As a result of Israel's war on Gaza over the past 22 months. Yeah, so I would say it's a very somber mood. You know, name after name is a child who's lost their lives, their hopes, their dreams. And so, yeah, there's a lot of tears, a lot of emotion, and a lot of sadness, as well as anger that more isn't being done to address the situation in Gaza.
Can you also describe if anyone that you know, important people from government, actually turned up as well?
Yes, we've had a number of members of parliament across the political spectrum. This morning we had Senator Maureen Faruqi. I think Andrew Wilkie's coming out this afternoon, as well as Fatima Payman. So yes, there's been some strong political support here on the lawns of Parliament House.
You are an alliance of about seven aid organisations or not-for-profit organisations, and the Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, has already said that the Australian government is supporting the calls to withdraw the annexation or the war actually over Palestine by Israel. What do you think about that when they made those declarations?
So we're really glad to see that the Australian government has joined with other governments around the world to make the statement that it did on Monday. Now we want to see some action. And for all the organisations involved in this 24-hour vigil, we're calling on the government to make sure that it does deliver and work with other countries to deliver an immediate and permanent ceasefire and to make sure that aid reaches those who are most in need in Gaza. At the moment, you know, 2 million people are on the brink of starvation, and more needs to be done to be able to bring aid into Gaza unimpeded and via UN coordination mechanisms.
In your view, Michelle, why is it taking so long?
All of our organisations ask ourselves, we're witnessing the mass starvation of an entire population. We're here giving witness to 17,000 children being killed. So I think there hasn't been the political pressure that needs to be applied on Israel to understand that the international community does not accept this behaviour, does not accept the forced starvation of the population. And there needs to be more serious action with Israel held to account for its continued violations of international law.
Can you tell us a little bit about which countries you think would be really important to influence the hand of Israel to just stop doing what they're doing on Palestine?
I think all of the countries who have been providing arms, weapons, military support to Israel are critical in this picture. Mm. If we want to end this war, we have to see governments across the EU, the United States, even the potential role that Australia could be playing in sending arms via third countries. All of these countries need to stop continuing to fuel this war by providing military support to Israel.
Are you able to also discuss, Michelle, where is the movement of aid at the moment? How far is it getting to?
Well, look, I mean, the majority of aid that's currently being provided in Gaza is being delivered through the Gaza Humanitarian Fund. This is not an aid organisation. It does not follow humanitarian principles. And when you have the Israeli Defence Force surrounding the aid delivery and killing people who are so desperate for food, water and other vital supplies, not the right mechanism to be distributing aid. For organisations like ActionAid, we work with local partners on the ground to look at whatever aid we can source, whatever food available on local markets to try and get it to the most desperate people in need. There's a small trickle of international aid being allowed in. It's just not enough. Not enough to meet the huge demands of the entire population.
How are the health workers and aid workers managing? I heard, because I've also heard a lot of updates already from my fellow journalists, that a few of them are being shot at. What's the situation with the health workers and the aid workers at the moment?
We have seen in modern history where we have seen so many health workers and aid workers actively targeted by a defense force. Under international law, humanitarian workers, health officials are all protected, but we have seen countless hundreds of deaths over this last 22 months. So yeah, I think it's an incredibly risky situation for those people who are putting their lives on the line for others. And even for those who aren't targeted by bombing and attacks, it's a deeply traumatic situation to see so many people in need with very few resources.
Can I ask, Michelle, in terms of your contacts over there, what have you heard so far to the minute? What's been happening?
The situation has become dire. People are so desperate for food and water, and particularly, we're very concerned about pregnant mothers who don't have enough water or food to be able to nourish themselves or the baby that's growing inside them. The hospitals have been attacked so many times by the Israeli Defense Force, and it's just impossible to deliver a child in Gaza, a baby in Gaza, under such unsafe, unsanitary conditions. But nevertheless, doctors are delivering babies, women are delivering babies with no anesthetic, no pain relief, and in unsterile conditions. It is a horrendous situation, and obviously we're deeply concerned by the growing numbers of children and other vulnerable people who are dying of malnutrition and starvation. And this will only continue to grow unless there is an urgent international effort to break the blockade of aid coming into Gaza and to allow unimpeded aid to come in and reach the people of Gaza. At the moment, what's coming in is just a trickle.
Looking into the picture in terms of Greta Thunberg's group, where they actually came with some aid through the sea, what are the other options for aid support workers? Are there any other options at all that haven't been looked at, in your view?
Look, for ActionAid, we work with a number of local partners. We try to source locally grown food to try and, source whatever resources are available in Gaza. There is a small amount, but it's not anywhere near the huge need, but it at least enables people to have something. Most people are probably lucky if they eat once every two days, one meal every 2 days. So even if we can deliver that, it's an important lifeline for keeping people there until we can break the blockade. And that's why we're here at Parliament House today to really put pressure on the Australian government to do more with other governments around the world to make sure that blockade is lifted, to make sure people in Gaza can access aid at the volume that's needed, and that we put an end to this war and that we see an immediate ceasefire and a permanent ceasefire, because this war has gone on for too long. It's had too many civilian casualties. The suffering in Gaza is immense. I mean, that's what my colleagues say, is that Gaza is like hell on earth at the moment. So much of it has been destroyed. There's no food. There's so much death and destruction. This war needs to come to an end.
So, have any one of you at all in the alliance been able to think further than the urgency of what's happening now?
I think none of our organizations are willing to think about that scenario.
Yeah.
Right now, we want to do everything we can, to ensure that we can protect the people of Gaza, the people who remain, to make sure they get access to aid, to make sure that they get access to the medical support that's needed, and to ensure that they aren't pushed out of their territory. So I don't think anyone is looking to that kind of future. We all have to do everything we can in our power, including our government, to make sure that's not the outcome of this war.
I'd like to hear your next steps, what these voices group are planning to do, and what you're hoping calls to the government.
Well, look, we have a very clear call to government. That is, and we've been saying this for a long period of time, continue to push with the international community for an immediate and permanent ceasefire. Ensure unimpeded aid is able to reach the people of Gaza through the UN system. Make sure recommendations from the ICJ are implemented and that Israel abides by them. And also to make sure that Australia isn't partaking in any sale of weapons or any military support to Israel. We've had very clear messages. We'll continue to say them. We'll continue to find different platforms and ways of getting the message out. And that today is part of that. Joining forces with doctors, nurses, actors, celebrities, members of parliament to show that Australians do care and they want to see the government take urgent action. So we will continue. And from our perspective, every day matters. Every day, we will continue to look at what we can do to step up the advocacy. Obviously, we have a great opportunity this week with the opening of Parliament. And, we'll continue our lobbying and advocacy efforts towards that end.
In terms of the parliament session itself, anybody of them actually came out of that session and extended some solidarity?
Senator Fatima Payman will be tabling the 17,000 names of the children who have been killed through the war, Israel's war on Gaza. She'll be tabling that in the parliament today at the close of the vigil at 3 p.m. this afternoon. And we've had a number of senators and members of parliament. Senator Marine Faruqi came out morning. Andrew Wilkie will be joining us later this afternoon. And others have come to join the 24-hour vigil and to show their support for what we're trying to do.
What is your message? People like us that couldn't be there physically.
Let's not forget the children. This is an unacceptable casualty of war. 17,000 children who have lost their lives, their dreams, their hopes. Let's not become complacent. Let's continue to push for an end to this war and to support the people of Palestine.
Executive Director Michelle from ActionAid Australia speaking to me there and ending that report.